This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عن أبي رقية تميم بن أوس الداري رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. The hadith tonight is in the collection of Imam Muslim. This is a very, very well-known hadith. And I feel like it's one of the hadith that people, because they don't fully understand the idea, end up kind of not narrating as much. It's very short and simple. And it's within obviously the theme of outreach and da'wah. I think this is very appropriate for that theme, for sure. I think this is where you should use it, wallahu alam. And what he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is one of Jawami' al-Kalim, obviously, this is what he said. قال, الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَةِ فَقُلْنَا لِمَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, الدِّين, religion or faith, for this law, is nasiha, is offering advice. This is a very, this way of speech doesn't work in English at all. It works in Arabic because of the way the Arabic language is actually constructed. And the way when if you have a noun-based sentence and you put a word and then a word after it, and they're called mubtada and khabar, something that you start out with and then something you tell, the second piece is going to tell about that first one. And in the way that these work in Arabic, it forces you, the second one is telling you something about the first one. So even if it's not obvious, you have to actually look in a bit deeper, metaphorically, to understand how this second word is telling you about the first word. Like you have, it's not a choice. It's not an issue of, well, it doesn't make, no. If he's saying it that way, then the second word is saying something about the first one. It's telling you a piece of information about that first one. And if you didn't understand it, then you just have to think a little bit deeper. Or you have to look in between the lines. So he says that dinun nasiha, and he's saying the law or the faith or the religion is offering advice. This is obviously very confusing for people because this is not what they were understanding Islam to be to begin with. And the way that we understand our deen is a little bit different than that. And there's a lot of other aspects that play into how we comprehend our faith and the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman and all the behavior, all that stuff. What is this? Why are you suddenly saying, Ya Rasulullah? So they asked Iman, Ya Rasulullah, well, for whom? They didn't want to say, how does that work? Because that's a little bit rude. So they asked, for whom then? Since you said nasiha, then for whom? So Allah, so the Prophet says, it's for Allah. It's for his book, it's for his prophet, it's for the leaders of the Muslims and the common man, and the common Muslim. If you, depending on what book you read, whether you go to the Sharh al-Nawawi, Sahih Muslim, or if you go to Kamal al-Mu'lim, or if you go, depending on which, like Imam al-Mazuri, or al-Qadi, or if you read, depending on the scholar who's actually explaining this hadith, you'll find a lot of different outlooks on what it means. It's one of those hadith that actually take a little bit of unpacking to understand. But I'm gonna take just one basic concept and kind of share it with you for contemplation or for the benefit of this topic. He's saying that the deen is offering advice, even though we know there's a lot more to Islam than just that, right? We know there's a lot to it than that. So what aspect of the deen is offering advice? He must mean that some aspect of the deen is going to be fulfilled through offering advice, right? That's kind of what he's saying without saying it, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's an aspect of deen that's going to be fulfilled through offering advice. And the piece of fulfilled is kind of removed, and that aspect is also muqaddar, meaning it's not being pointed out, and it's just this metaphorical sentence is left for you to kind of take a little bit of time and think about. But when they asked him for whom, and he pointed out everyone, alayhi salatu wasalam, including himself, he said it's for Allah, lillah, and it's for his prophet, and it's for his book, and it's for the leaders and the common man, everyone's involved in this. Obviously, you can't offer advice to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that means that the answer itself cannot mean that it is offering advice to these people, right? At least not for all of them, because the first time you use it, if you're saying for whom this advice is going, if the idea is offering it, well, you can't offer it to God, so that kind of ends that discussion. So if you want to say, well, for God specifically, what about for his book? Can you offer it? Can you give advice to the Quran? You can't do that either. So that means the concept of advice here is dynamic because each one of these things is different. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deity himself, the divine one, you can't really offer advice to him, not advice for him. Okay, great. What about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? You can't offer advice, maybe you can advise the Prophet if you're living with him alayhi salatu wasalam, but then that hadith is going to be just stuck for that time. There's no point of narrating it because there's no point for me to understand it, or maybe drop him alayhi salatu wasalam the hadith because I can't really offer him advice unless the meaning is something different there too. And the book, well, you can't offer advice to a book. or the one who wrote it, or the one who said it, Jalla Jalalullah, then how do you offer advice? Then maybe the idea here is not whom you're offering advice to, but whom you're offering advice for the sake of. Maybe that's what he's trying to say here. And if it's the sake of, then it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then how is it going to be for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And how about the sake of the book? And what do you mean by the sake of the leaders of the Muslims and the common Muslim? So now we're stuck a little bit here. So are we going to understand this hadith in a dual manner? Is the first couple are going to be for the sake of, and the second group is going to be, we're going to be offering them advice? Or is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encompassing in one hadith by saying, look, this deen, the only way it grows is if you offer what you got in all aspects of what that is. In the totality of what Islam is. Islam comes from Allah through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. By reading the book, the leaders will establish it and the common man will practice it. You see how this whole system, the only way for it to continue is if you understand that it's based on the fact that you need to continue to offer what you have. If you have knowledge, you offer it. If you see something that needs to be fixed, you talk about it. If there's something that needs to be improved, then you push it forward. For the sake of Allah, to the Prophet or from him, for the sake of his reputation, alayhi salam, or his legacy, to make sure that the Quran is being fulfilled in practice, for the sake of the leaders actually doing the right thing, or maybe being held back from doing the wrong thing, to make sure the Muslims are actually being taken care of, or reminded of something doing wrong, however you want to use this. I mean, take this concept and swing it in any direction, it's all the same. A deen is only fulfilled if as a Muslim you feel the obligation to speak in the form of nasiha. And nasiha is a beautiful thing that we have made ugly. I'm going to say this and you can hate on me as much as you like later. We've made it ugly. We've taken a beautiful thing and we've turned it into something that's not beautiful anymore. It's always one person who's waiting for another person who did something that that first person didn't like so that he can come and tell him, oh brother, this is not the way to do something, not based on knowledge, not based on a previous introduction between the two. Don't go and offer nasiha to someone you've never met in your entire life. If you've never spoken to this person before, don't start your relationship by correcting them, especially on something that you're not sure about. Be very sure about what you're going to talk about. Meaning, make sure that when you offer advice, you're offering on something that you're 100% sure needs to change. It's not something that has maybe another opinion on it, or maybe there's a different way of looking at it, or maybe it's a concept or an aspect or a part of the deen where there are different ways of practicing it, you just maybe don't know that way. Before you offer advice, make sure all of these things, all these bases are covered. Make sure the person is actually going to accept your nasiha. Make sure that you have enough, and that if they're not going to do it, then maybe you shouldn't be offering at that moment, etc., etc., etc. But nasiha is a beautiful thing. Because nasiha means that I'm not going to live my life just with the information and the understandings and the comprehensions of myself. I get the gems that you have too. And then I'll share them with you too. And we are exchanging these gems. And as we exchange them, we all grow. And we all become better. We all improve. And we all are made aware of the blind size that we have, the blind spots that we have in our lives. And we are going to be offered a step forward. Because without nasiha, we all stay stagnant. It's just based on maybe my own ability to do some self-analysis, and that's hard. And most of the time, you're not compelled to do that. But nasiha means that we're going to reach out to others. A part of this deen is reaching out, is actually going and seeing what you can offer someone else and how you can help them. And in what way you can be of service to them. Nasiha is an act of service, first and foremost. How can you be of service to them? Don't use it as a way to establish your superiority in knowledge and in ethics. Don't use it that way. Don't make it ugly. Keep it beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's an act of service. And without it, when we stop doing that, when we stop feeling that we're one, that we're connected, that this whole story that started with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending his prophet with the book, with leaders who will establish the law and Muslims who will practice it, without that, that whole system will collapse. It won't exist anymore. Deen won't be anything if we're not willing to reach out to one another, if we're not willing to offer what it is that we have. That's how deen is fulfilled. That's how the deen is maintained. And I find it to be extremely, extremely important and helpful. But we just have to understand what the idea is. And that's why, you know, this month I think it's a good way to Nasiha. Make it beautiful again by offering it to someone in a way where they'll actually benefit from it. يروي الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن أبي رقية تميم بن أوس الداري رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته